How many agree? Especially if you're working, your job has requirements like computers and such. Sometimes you just need to unload that. Amen? Well, I've been instructed by the Holy Spirit to begin to break down who He is. I'm going to read this verse to you. You don't have to turn there. If you're taking notes, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted and moved away. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." So it's those who know their God will do great things. Now, how many knows that you know by names? When you hear of a certain name, you may identify who that is, true? If you studied any history, who was our first president? You know him. I've never met him. I saw some photos of him, true? Sometimes the hair is kind of funky, but whatever. That wig doesn't work. But the truth is that you know it by name. You can read about it in history. You can kind of get an idea of what the gentleman was like. Maybe not some secret moments. But the truth is that there's enough history recorded that you can know that individual, true? Same way when it comes to our God. He's not trying to hide who He is from us. He says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." The Word of God reveals who He is. The Holy Spirit makes it real in our life. Let me agree there. So as we begin to break down these names, they're not just so we can go, "Oh, that's cute." It's to know Him. It's to be able to speak that name, because that name is who He is. How many of us, more than ever, we need the Lord to work? Now, I have a little testimony that really is just something for my wife. My wife has been taking care of me these last couple months. I've had some serious health issue. And my wife has been like an unbelievable servant. She's gotten up. She's done things. She's checked on me when I've been throwing up and all that junk. And she came over. I was doing something, just a little project. And she came home and there's tears in her eyes. I'm like, "Well, what's wrong?" And she holds up this bowl. My wife collects Pyrex, and she's been looking for this particular bowl for years. And she saw them in other places, but they've been so expensive. She went to this little side garage sale thing and found one for $4. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, that may not mean much to whatever, but how many know sometimes it's nice to have some joy? Amen. Say amen. And I looked at it and I go, "I'm so happy for you. You've been looking for this for years, multiple states years. And here you go. It's right in your back door and for $4. Say amen." Is God good? He is good. It made my home happy. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 22, you there? Verse 14. Now Abraham is going to bring his son Isaac. God's going to require a sacrifice. And Isaac's there and he sets off and now the wood is being carried, the fire is there. And Isaac asks a question, "Well, where is the sacrifice?" How many knows that if you have fire, you have all the wood, and now you need what's the most important, what you're going to put on it? Say amen. Can you imagine that situation now that all of a sudden there is no sacrifice? And now Isaac becomes the one. How many think that'd be a little fearful time? How many think the father's saying, "Lord, you're going to provide"? Say amen. Now, God's not into human sacrifices. God is not into it. Are you hearing me? But there's a time where you have to trust the process. "Lord, what you're doing?" And then just before the sacrifice needed to be made, he looks up and God provided a ram in the thicket. A ram was caught in the brush. Now, here's what's amazing. Animals usually know where their environment is. And if you've ever been around a ram before, they're pretty rambunctious creatures. For that to be caught in that thicket, how many knows the Lord had a plan? Say amen. Many times we need to get to the process and God will show us when we get there. Sometimes we want it way ahead of time. Sometimes we're so organized we got it all down that we don't know. But sometimes it needs to be in that moment when we need it. How many understand that? As we begin to break down these names of God, the first one is Jehovah Jireh. in Genesis 22, verse 14, and Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide to this day." For he provided on the mount of the Lord. That ram was there. When he needed it, it was there. Many times God isn't too early. He's never late, but he's always on time. There are times I like it early. It's already done, paved the way, it's already there. But he's always on time. Can you imagine seeing that provision there? They're out in the area, they're on the mountain, and all of a sudden they look and say, "There it is. There's the sacrifice." And he spoke a word. He says, "I want you to know from this day forth, it's Jehovah Jireh." If there's a situation in your life you need a provision, Jehovah Jireh is there. You'll know God by his names. This isn't just some cute thing that we say, "Yeah, Jehovah Jireh, my provider." If you say that. He is my provider. We need to look at lack as something that needs to go. Yes or no? It needs to go. Whose kids are you? Aren't you a child of the King of Kings? Yes or no? Last time I checked, he created everything. Last time I checked, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I'm his kid. Amen? Sometimes the enemy wants you to feel like you're less than what is. No, you're a child of the Most High God. Before I was saved, I was in the world. The dictates of the world I did, but when I got saved, when I got my life right, I became a child of the King of Kings. That's pretty awesome. Amen? How about today? In Philippians 4:19, "And God shall supply all my needs according to what? His riches and glory." So Jehovah Jireh is alive and real. So we have to look at it and say, "God, I need this provision. You will provide." Sometimes it's the last moment. But God will still provide. He will come through. Are we relying on that power? Are we looking for him for our source? If everything is cool in your life, great. Then you get to pray for somebody else. Amen? I've learned that, listen, there are seasons and times. Sometimes it's the mountaintop and sometimes it's the valley. How many of you live long enough to see both? I like the mountaintops. The view's a whole lot better. But sometimes you're down at the bottom. Amen? We have a few of these crows that have made our home area their dwelling place. Amen? I don't mind animals in the yard, but listen, don't chew on my wiring on my car. There's a point where I take dominion over. Those little ground squirrels, they are the worst ever. I looked underneath my car, and I look, there's wires hanging. They're all gnarled up. And I saw that little creature drop down and scamper up. Oh, in the name of Jesus. How many of you sometimes you still got to take dominion over? My dominion may be different, but there's dominion happening. Amen? Little guy. Well, anyways, I got these crows that I've named them, Larry, Moe, and Curly Joe. I don't know their names. But they fly into the house and then they land on the gutter and they just like look out, you know. And man, those birds, they're not little guys. They're some pretty beefy birds. And then they'll flutter and it's like, "Man, what's that noise? Like something's coming through the roof." But they're hanging around, so hopefully they're eating something. Amen? If you're going to be in the yard, take care of it. True? Right? Just don't poo-poo on my car and leave and do something. I'm going to say amen to that. When I look at Abraham, there are four things that were provided. There was a provision for the guilt offering. A lamb was going to be there. There's strength for duty, necessary, supplied by faith. There was deliverance from danger. Isaac's now spared. And there's also blessing for obedience. I love this. Anytime we step out, when you quote that, Jehovah Jireh, there's relief for your situation. Abraham's now, "Yes, I see, God, you provided." Can you imagine how joyful he was? Now, even if Isaac would have lost his life, Abraham had faith that God could even raise the dead. How many of us, our God is able? I don't believe that the church has experienced the power of God like he wants to. Our God is able to do great things. I started the verse off, those who know their God. You know him, great exploits will happen. And when I look in the New Testament, the disciples walk with him. What did they accomplish after he rose from the dead? There was nothing that was impossible. True? We need to get back to that. If God's the same, then God, we need to spend more time knowing God. We should have thunderous amens in here. When I look at him, I've noticed by unknown ways, unknown thought of things, he'll oppose and effect a deliverance. In ways you never thought possible, God will work it through. And he'll even take care of some of your wants. He'll meet all your needs and some of your wants. Because if you got all your wants, you'd be just spoiled brats. True? And I've learned this, the more you mature in faith, the more he releases to you. You're able to handle it. Because a novice having great power ends up destroying themselves. You grow in grace. Second name I want to look at, and these are not so much in order of importance. There's Jehovah Rapha, which means the miracle healer. God promised physical and spiritual healing for us. In Exodus 15, verse 26, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do right in his sight, give ears to his commands, keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. How many need a healing touch? Then what's in his name? There's power in his name. Then I quote that area, Jehovah Rapha, the miracle healer. You are powerful enough to change this situation. Amen? During my time in the getting radiation treatments, the Lord's opened up doors for me to witness. Now, I told my wife there that, you know, I'm half unclothed when they're doing the treatments. But how many knows the Lord can still work? It's kind of weird witnessing to people when you're not half clothed, amen? I told my wife, I'm half naked laying there, you know? But the door opened up in conversation. One lady was struggling, just went through a divorce, and I just sat up and just began to talk. Amen? Sometimes you forget all that, you know what? And they forgot that too, focused in. The other day, there's a patient behind me, and I said, you know, I'm going to be praying for you. And the initial saying that brings always shock. Because nobody talks like that, true? Everyone's just muscling down in life, working through things. But you know, the next time, they'll remember. And how many knows that it'll get to the place where, yeah, I'll take prayer. Amen? Well, how about, Lord, they'll all get healed and none of them have to go back there. That'll make some insurance companies mad. Hallelujah. Can God do it? Yes or no? Come on. We need to speak Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that does what? He heals me. He's a physician for the people. I've learned this. The medical field is great. It helps people. There's no doubt about it. He's the only one that can bring the healing. Amen? I don't want treatment. I want healing. So he says, I am the Lord who heals you. Now, I appreciate the medical profession. I do, 100%. But I'd rather not be sick. Is there anybody with me? Come on. I'd rather not be sick. Some of the people that I'm seeing on a weekly basis, some of them are really in rough shape. They are. Some of them barely can even hold their head up. And my heart goes out. Amen? Well, I'm at the place in my faith and trusting that I'm going to stop each one and say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes people just need a little bit of hope. Because when you're feeling miserable, it's not going right. Because not only does it affect there, it affects your home, it affects your job, it affects everything that comes with it. Are you with me? Listen to me. The medicine Jesus prescribes is in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His medicine is you need to come to him. There are times you need to unload. He is the great physician. You don't deny the reality that you're sick. That's ridiculous. But who's your help? Amen? How many knows that he's your help? He's the great physician. Is there anything the Lord cannot cure? You know, sometimes I think it's a place for him, like You call that incurable? Good, I can cure that. That's incurable? Oh, no problem. Oh, you need a ram caught in a thicket? I already got it provided. Then, Lord, it's already, then God, let me see it. Amen? Sometimes we're not looking out enough to Him for the provision. We're just tunneled vision. Sometimes we may be just focusing too much on the problem. There was a problem for Abraham. There was really no real good sacrifice. So God had to call out, Abraham, do him no harm. And when he looked up, he saw. Sometimes you need to look up a little bit. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. Some of the hardest prayers you'll ever pray is when you don't feel like it. When everything says something different and everything is going a different way, to walk by faith, say, God's still in control. Amen? And Jeff and I had this conversation before service. Let me make a million years from now, okay? I can kind of imagine a million. I can see the number. In years, that's a long time. But in a million years, we'll still be serving Him. Isn't that cool? The clock will be turned off. It's like, that's how about a billion years? A billion years from now, you'll still be serving Him in whatever capacity that is. Sometimes we look at this lifetime as so permanent that when we look back from there, how many knows this is just a brief blip? Don't live your life on what you wish you did. Know Him. Know God. You have an opportunity to know Him now. Take advantage of that area. Serve Him. And when it comes to people, love on people. Listen to me, no one's outside His grace. They all need that touch. Amen? Third name I'm going to cover here is Jehovah Nissi, or Nessie if you like it that way. The Lord my banner. In Exodus 17, verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Now, I've never seen, like, people come in, even this World Cup, they come in, there's their flags draped on the field, it's pretty huge. You see people in the stands, they're waving there, because that's their country they're representing. True? I've seen some people sing their own national anthem, whether it's a hymn or words, they get totally in it. And most of those people cannot sing like me. But they're bold and they don't care because their country is represented. And how they know that is that that banner they're carrying identifies where they're at. The Lord is my banner. And I'm not ashamed to hold that banner high. And His banner over me is love. Are you hearing me? So when I identify with Jesus Christ, that is my banner, and I'm not ashamed of it. How many of us, we need to hold that banner up? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of somebody saying something about it? Are we afraid? Believe me, when you're a Christian, things are going to come against you regardless. Regardless. But you just live it out. Now, you're not trying to be obnoxious and not do your job. I'm not talking about that. You should be the best employee they got. And if that ain't the place you're going to end up, then Lord, promote me and move me. God's able to do that. Amen? Then here's my banner, and I'm going to hold it high. I've seen churches today that don't want to be called churches anymore. What's up with that? Didn't He say, I'll build my... He'll build what? Members in particular in the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's amazing to me that sometimes we're trying to hide from that. Listen to me. We need to get our life right. Sin is a killer for all of us, and He has a remedy for it. Amen. I need to hold that banner high. Say amen. In Psalm 20, it says this, verse 5, we'll rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, who has set up our banner, we may be full with all His partitions. I love it. Can you see Jesus stepping on the scene? I represent my Father. And what He tells me to do, I'm going to do that. And even the Pharisees, well, who is that? You're not even like, you saw Abraham's day, you're not even X amount of years old. I mean, He was speaking something. It's an eternal thing. Well, you're an eternal being too. You represent the kingdom of God. And when it's time to rejoice in our God, you know what? you can stand up and sing it loud. If you have an awful voice like me, that doesn't bother me at all. One day I'll be able to sing like an angel too, but right now I deal with this voice I got. When we're all gathered at the throne, won't that be glorious? Then we need to start it now. The world needs to know that, look, there's a banner over them and it's love. He's their strength and joy. Amen? It also goes before armies. When people marched into battle, many times it signified who they were. One of the hard things in the wars was this, is when people's uniforms were captured and other troops dressed like them, a lot of people were ambushed because of that. A lot of patrols were ambushed because they were disarmed when they saw they were on the same side until they got close. The enemy will always bring a counterfeit into the church. But if you know your God, you can start to recognize that they may have the same dress on, they may even have the same speech on, but they're not of the same. You can discern in the spirit. Amen? I read an account not too long ago where they were faced with that area. The Germans stole a bunch of U.S. soldiers' stuff. And then one of the soldiers began to say, they began to talk about home. And they began to have a little conversation. They were plotting something. And the guy asked about a baseball team. And he knew that team, and the guy couldn't answer it. And he said he was a fan. He goes, all of a sudden it came a red flag. Say amen. Amen. Many times with just a few questions, you can find out where somebody really is. They exposed that. They arrested these guys and saved some things from being sabotaged. Hallelujah. What's our banner? Are we carrying it in front of us? You that are warriors, we hold that forth. As for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. Moses said, the Lord is my banner. This commemorated a recent victory over the Amalekites. I can see that saying, you know what? We got victory. The Lord is my banner. Amen. Well, you hold the banner up before the victory. It's a rallying point too. Here's my opinion. I'm going to speak prophetically here. The things that are happening right now in the kingdom are bringing things together. It's finalizing things. It's maturing things. It's purifying things. And when the church starts to walk more pure, look out for the world. Judgment begins in the house of God. Then what about those outside? If you're really seeking the Lord, God's bringing you to a closer walk. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Move in. Teach me, Lord. Because everything the Lord does is for our good. Amen? When this banner is lifted up, it signifies God's going to fight for you. It's not that he doesn't know what team you're on, but you signal, I'm fighting for them. How many of us, when David was fighting Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord. And that captive audience, this side here in this part of the valley mountaintop was all Israel. Here was all the heathens, the Philistines. And you have David and Goliath down there. And David was just like a grasshopper compared to Goliath. He had armor from Saul that didn't fit. He put it off. And he reached into what he knew. I got a stone and a sling. Amen. Notice there was no fear in that area. Sure, there's always fear in these little bodies. But he looked and said, I can't miss that forehead. Hallelujah. And he took him down and he finished it off. How many of you need to finish what you start? Amen? Listen, just because you've even knocked down a giant or two in your life, make sure you chop its head off. There's no more chance to come back. Somebody say amen to that. When that banner is lifted up, it's victory forever in the Lord. I'm glad I'm on his side. True? Even some of the scribes and Pharisees finally got it right. Says, you know what? If these guys are of the Lord, who are us to fight against God? And that's true. You will not win if you fight against the Lord. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to win. He knows your frame, that you're but dust. Amen? Which leads me to this, I'll close with one more. Now you can help me with this. It's Jehovah. In some translations, it's Makadosh. But there's a Kemah on the end. So Could we say Makadesh Kim? You can help me with that. But this means here is the Lord our sanctification. In Exodus 31, verse 13, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel. Keep my Sabbaths in those things. I'll make this covenant with you and your generation, for I am the Lord who sanctifies you." We need the sanctifying power of God. How many here have sinned? Okay. How about twice? Three times? Let me see the dozen sinners in here. All right, I'm going to get up there now. How many have sinned at least 100 times? Oh, heathens, bless God. How many want to push that to another level? You sin more than that. When it says all have sinned, I can't count how many times I've failed in my life. And neither do I want to. But I'm so glad when I came to God, all I had to use is one word. Forgive me of all. And how many knows the Lord's just willing to? He is so willing. We need to walk in that sanctifying power. It's not that you won't fail again, but bless God, don't continue to live that way. Get up and keep going. Amen? If there's a hang up in your life, put that thing to prayer. Seek the Lord on that. He'll deliver anything. How many knows even chemical dependencies He can break? He's able to do that. How do you want it or not? I want it, Lord. So He's the one who sanctifies. We need the sanctifying power. It's not that the church is perfect, but we serve a perfect God. I want to be like Him. Now, hopefully you're walking away from some things that used to bother you now and starting to live right. Amen? One of the things He cleans up is your speech. Some of you told me you used to... four-letter words were your favorite thing. Amen? Amen. But what happens when you get saved? Five-letter words appear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But aren't you glad that even your conversations have been covered? He sanctifies. That's a great thing. It's a great thing to walk in that. It's a promise from Scripture that I'll forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then if you sin, it's like not that you're having a habit. If you fail, you can get up and ask Him. And don't do this, though. Don't say, you know what? I'm going to sin so I can ask Him to forgive me. All you're saying is like, Lord, I'm just going to do what I want to do and You'll cover it for me. No, it's if you fail. And sin to me is like this. It's like a baited trap. You know you shouldn't do it. You know you shouldn't do it. You know you shouldn't do it the whole time, true? And then you do it. Then how many ever felt miserable afterwards? 3, 4, 5. And then you say to yourself, I'm not going to do that again. Because you felt miserable, you felt convicted. We need to break the cycle, true? It needs to be like, Lord, I don't even want this in me that I'm not even tempted. Amen? If some of you are still tempted by driving past party stores, praise the Lord, God will help you out. Take a different route. Say amen. God is good. How about He sanctifies you wholly? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, and I'll close with this. To the church of God who's at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. I love this. And all who call on Him in every place, the Lord Jesus, both theirs, listen to me, and ours. That means there's distant too. Not only here, but all those who will call. Even in this year in Livonia, I'll sanctify you. You're called accordingly. It's what makes the church what it's supposed to be. Not perfect people, but people who've been set free. People who've been sanctified by His power. That's an awesome thing. I hold that banner up, Lord. You are mine. You are my sanctifier. These four things, we're going to get more into this later. Is He this to you? Is He your provider? Then He's Jehovah Jireh. I want these to sink deep in you. I want today some of you need provision today. He'll provide. He's my healer. He'll provide. He's my banner. He'll provide. He's my sanctifier. He's listing His name so we can know Him. And those who know their God will do great things. You'll be a blessing not only to you, your family, and all those who come in contact with you. Amen? Because freely what you have, you'll be able to give away. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The guy was begging at the gate for more money just to make a morsel that day. How would you like to walk and make a difference? For our church, we're going to make a difference. We're going to be able to look at the needs of humanity and meet them with His power. Because that's what He wants to do. And He said, greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. It starts by knowing Him. Daniel said, those who know their God will do exploits. How many want to know Him? And take that book, Lord, teach me. If you want to study Scripture with me right now, I'm going through the book of Genesis. I have a habit of doing this. I'll go through the New Testament twice, Old Testament once. That's how I do it. I don't go like this in Scripture. Today I'm going to preach on Jesus wept. Yeah! No, it's not like that. I don't look for sermons in the book. God speaks a word and they come alive. Amen? Give us today our what? Daily bread. How can you survive without it? Spiritually you need it. Physically you need it. Amen? And then what you have in that deposit, think about it. If God's Spirit can dwell in you, how vast is that Spirit that you have? That is so amazing. Then Lord, renew this to match the Spirit. And not let me trust in this, the flesh. Amen? Did you receive something this morning? We've covered four names. We'll cover more as the weeks proceed. How many need to walk in these four? How many need His provision? Let me see your hand. Okay. How about His healing? How about His identification, His banner? How about His sanctifier? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I got some areas in my life I need to get right. I'm going to pray with you as we close. How many here say, Pastor, there's some areas that I still need some work on. Let me see your hand. I don't even know what it is. Anybody else? Okay. Secondly here, maybe you've never trusted Him with your sins. It's simple. You just ask Him, Lord Jesus, I know You're real. I ask You to forgive me and come into my life. Change me. He'll do just that. Because everyone in here has failed at least once. That means you're in position for a Savior. Be honest in here, church. Who in here this morning say, Pastor, I need that in my life. Just lift your hand up. Be bold. Okay? Okay? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to close in prayer here. Anybody else join these? I want to make sure it's right with the Lord. You'll walk out different. Because God had your number this morning. He knew exactly where you'd be. Anybody else? What I want to do is I want to close in prayer, church. And I want you to pray this with me. And for you that need to get your life right with the Lord, I want you to use that faith God's given you, and He will save you today. And I'll be by the door to greet you as you go. You can tell me, Pastor, I got my life right. Pray this with me, church. Lord Jesus, everyone in here, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I know that I failed. But I ask You to forgive me, to come into my life and change me. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that He arose from the dead. So right now, in Jesus' name, I am forgiven of all my sins. Holy Spirit, come live in me and change me. Lord Jesus, today, I am born again. Today, I'm forgiven. Now, Father, help me to walk with You all the days of my life. And if I fail, I'm getting back up and I'm going to serve You. That today, I boldly confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I believe that He's alive forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's good news. Here's a true fact. The Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, He is Lord, you're saved. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is Lord. And before you leave today somewhere, just turn to somebody and say, man, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And be bold about it. Don't be ashamed, because that area there, that banner is covering, that confession is real. And God will do it. Amen? God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you. Enjoy the weather, too. Amen. How are you?